no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com.
Presents The Chain.
And now, gentlemen, in summation, we've weighed everything. Our military strength, position, their strength, the politics, the economics, everything relevant. And as of this moment, the scales are in perfect balance.
Well, General, are you saying we've reached a stalemate?
No, Senator. A stalemate occurs when both sides have exhausted their forces. But unless there is bilateral disarmament of nuclear forces, we can only adhere to the present policy.
Since nuclear disarmament seems a long way off, then the suggested course would be to bend all efforts to preventing brush fires?
Yes. But sometimes a brush fire seems to start without a match.
Where does it begin? Who or what kindles the flame that starts a fire which can become a holocaust? Every event is formed from links in endless chains. The largest event may begin with a seemingly insignificant link.
The United Nations building, please.
Yes, sir. Beautiful day, isn't it, sir?
What? Oh, yes, it is.
Yeah, my wife's always beefing. Says I'm working on all the nice days. Comes my day off, it rains. What does she want from me? Like I got...
Look out, that dog!
Yeah, some people letting their dogs run around loose. Like they give a guy a heart attack.
Oh,
hey, mister, you okay? I mean, you didn't bang your head or nothing when I stopped, did you?
No, I'm not hurt. Look, could you move on, please?
Yeah, sure. Now, maybe I better take you to a hospital?
No, I'm all right. Just shaking a bit.
Well, I got some forms here in the glove compartment. If you'll sign
forms.
One. Yeah. All it says is that I offered to take you to a doctor and you refused. That lets me off the hook if you sue.
Look, I have no intention of suing.
Well, it's okay to sue, but like I said, it just takes me off the hook. Just sign there at the bottom, huh?
Look, will you please watch where you're driving?
Wasn't my fault. That big slob cut me off. That's 60 cents. And will you sign the form, mister? Here's a ballpoint.
All right. Beckley Fletcher. There.
Hey, you change.
Keep it.
Cab.
603 12th Avenue.
Yes, sir. Beautiful day, isn't it, sir?
An ordinary event like countless others in every day. A simple link in a chain of human affairs.
Hello, this is Fletcher. Will you connect me with Mr. Douglas, please? Jediah Douglas. It's rather urgent. Hello, Jed. Yeah, I'm at the UN. I'm afraid I've committed a super goof. I left my briefcase in a cab. I had all the copies of the Rwanda report in it. Well, en route, he stopped suddenly to avoid hitting a dog, and I was a bit shaken. And I realized a moment after I got out of the cab that... Well, no, I haven't told the chairman yet. Well, I was hoping that you could have some additional copies of the report run off and flown up in a diplomatic pouch. Yeah, I realize it's Friday. Well, I suppose it can wait till Monday. In the meantime, I'll try to trace the cab. And if I can get my briefcase back within a few hours, I won't have to ask for a delay. No, I certainly won't mention that I lost the report in the cab. I know a particular delegate who would make diplomatic mincemeat of such a truthful admission. Well, Ruganda has waited 3,000 years for economic aid, so I don't suppose another weekend will make that much difference. So long, Jed.
If Beckley Fletcher had not hailed that particular cab, if that dog had not run out into the street, if he had forgotten his briefcase. But no matter, it's only a small embarrassment. Probably no more important than a link in a chain.
Look, lady, I know he came in here. I picked him up outside the UN and took him to this here place, 603 12th Avenue.
Well, how long ago was this?
My last fare. No more than 6 minutes. After I spotted the briefcase on the floor of my cab, I put up the off-duty sign and swung around a block. I must have passed up maybe like 6 fares.
Well, that's it. Well, there was Mr. Westworthy. He came in with Miss Davis.
And the guy was alone.
Before that, Mr. Gregson himself came by. Mr. Brooks Gregson. He's the head of the agency.
Yeah, look, I...
But that doesn't look like his briefcase. I don't think it's... Oh, say, that is good quality.
Lady, how about skipping the appraisal, huh? I got a cab parked at the curb, maybe getting a ticket. So let me leave this and go.
Oh, wait a minute. I'll ring his office. Hello, Sybil. This is Jeanette. There's a cab driver out here who thinks Mr. B.G. left his briefcase in a taxi.
Thanks, Mike. I know that.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. Tonight? Oh, no, not tonight, sweetie. I promised Mother I'd watch TV with her, but I'd love to meet him.
For crying out.
Okay? I'm sorry, but Mr. Gregson is in conference.
Yeah.
So just leave the briefcase. I'll see that he gets it.
Look, I'm sure it's his.
Do you want to hang around for the reward?
Lady. Oh, goodbye, you're ready.
No, Jeanette, that is not my briefcase.
Oh, but the cab driver swore
I'm sure he did.
Well, what should I do with it?
Well, let's open it and... you know it'd be locked.
Oh, now that really takes the cake, doesn't it? Imagine some poor guy locks his briefcase so no one can open it and then loses the whole darn thing.
Probably just contains the salesman's order book. Did cabbie leave his name?
No, he didn't.
Then I suppose we'd better send it over to the Hack Bureau. Call a messenger.
Okay, but... Well, you know how it is on Fridays, Mr. Gregson. They take forever.
Well, Monday morning. Won't make a difference.
For months, the country of Ruganda has waited and waited. For months, the government of the United States has said they were making a charity of the situation. Months during which countless Rugandians patiently starved while they waited for a simple little report to the United Nations Committee on Economic Development. My own country offered aid time and again, but Ruganda refused because she believed the United States would grant aid which would be administered by the United Nations. And at last, the reading of the report is found on the agenda. At last. But now, Ruganda is told there will be a small delay. The United States gives no reason for the delay. The delegate merely promises that on Monday the report will be read. I submit that on Monday he will say Tuesday. And on Tuesday he will say Wednesday. And eventually the session will end without the report being presented, while thousands of Rugandians live and die in the vain belief that...
The usual diplomatic thrust. The words change, but the tune remains the same. Had the report been delivered on time, the same delegate would have condemned it as interference in the internal affairs of Ruganda. Surely when this report is presented on Monday, this particular chain of minor events will end in an insignificant circle.
Good evening. This is Baldwin Andrews with the On the Hour News. The top story of the day broke within the last few minutes. Early this evening, the United States consulate in Uganda was stoned by an angry mob carrying signs of protest against Yankee imperialism. First reports gave little hint as to the reasons for the sudden flare-up, and for several hours, the Ugandan government imposed strict censorship on all dispatches. But we now have a report from a reliable source. The neutralist government of Premier Batre has been deposed by a military junta.
A government overthrown. Coincidence? No. An inevitable event forged from successive links in a chain still growing, link by link, threatening to engulf the earth.
Jed. Well, I received the copies of the Uganda report this morning, and a few minutes after I got them, I heard from the Hack Bureau. My briefcase was turned in. I'm up to my ears in copies, but I don't know what to do with them. Well, the way I see it, we're hanged if we do and hanged if we don't. We can't make the offer of aid to the new government until... Oh, wait a minute, Jed. That's about the largest dose of diplomatic buck-passing I've heard. Well, all right, you can call it the straw that broke the camel's back, but there was a lot of... What? Well, I haven't any more idea of that than you do. What does National Intelligence say? Hold on, Jed. Suppose I present the report and hear the reaction. Maybe it'll give us the answer.
It is very interesting to note that after promises of several months, the United States government chooses this day to present its plan for aid to Uganda. This very day, when the delegate from Uganda is not a legal representative of his government and can accept only in behalf of the imperialist puppet regime which no longer rules Uganda. This is clearly an attempt to foster counter-revolution against the Republic of Uganda. I move that the chairman table the reading of the report until the legal representative of the government of Uganda can accept in behalf of the people of his country. And if I may add, I will not be surprised if the United States government will withdraw its plan for aid when the legal representative of Uganda is seated.
The great powers debate, charge, and countercharge. But both East and West are aware of the dangers in upsetting the balance of the scales. An anxious world watches and waits, fearing that one of the great powers will make a military commitment which will cause a counter-commitment from the other side.
And here, in a taped interview, General Austin Barron gave his views on the situation in Uganda.
There's certainly no cause for panic about the change of government in Uganda. We've received assurances that the rights of American citizens will be respected.
What about their announced plan to nationalize the tin-producing industry, General? The tin mines are American and British investments.
Well, that's a matter to be settled between our governments. I can't comment on it.
Do you have plans to enlarge our military establishment in Uganda?
No.
There have been several reports that the Uganda government is receiving supplies of arms from the East.
No such reports have been verified, and I might say it doesn't help the situation for you reporters and commentators to present such rumors.
Well, General, we always mention it when reports are unconfirmed. Sir, have you taken any special precautions to safeguard the security of our missile base in Uganda?
All personnel are confined to the base. in order to avoid any incidents.
Then you would say the missile base has been placed on alert?
No, sir. I want to state emphatically that the situation does not call for an alert. I must ask you not to throw such terms around.
The general and all military men on both sides have learned to fear escalation, a chain of events which increases too rapidly to control. To the great powers, there is little to gain and everything to lose. The military status quo must be maintained. At the United Nations, national interests are temporarily put aside.
The United States is to be commended on its speedy recognition of the People's Government of Rwanda and its offer of economic aid to be administered by the United Nations. My government wishes to join with the United States in the interest of international and therefore will match the United States offer dollar for dollar.
The political generals, as well as the military ones, recognize the danger. An unusual show of international cooperation is beginning to result from a series of events which could have led to war if the great powers had tried to gain a small advantage from the situation. Stability and balance have become the watchwords of our time.
Extraordinary development has taken place in Rwanda, coming on the heels of pledges of economic aid from both east and west. A dispatch from Washington informs us that Khartija, Rwanda's northern neighbor, has charged Rwanda with aggression. In retaliation, an armored column has crossed the Rwandan frontier and is speeding toward the capital. Khartija is a nation solidly aligned with the West and receives both economic and military aid from the United States.
States with instigating aggression by Cartesia against the People's Republic of Rwanda. My government proposes that the United Nations call for an immediate ceasefire.
Our ambassador condemned the charge against the United States as irresponsible, but joined in the plea for an immediate ceasefire. Latest dispatches from Rwanda are conflicting, but it seems certain that Cartesian troops have penetrated far into the interior.
Who is to blame for the threat to the balance of the scales? Rwanda? Cartesia? What caused the outbreak of war between these tiny nations? Who fired the first shot? These are questions that need no answering at the moment. What is important is that this brush fire be contained before it spreads.
The Rwandan army has deserted the capital. Observers report the evacuation was orderly. Apparently, the decision was made in order to avoid physical damage to the capital. The Rwandan government has issued no statement of surrender, and it is presumed that it intends to continue the fight from more strategic ground in the mountain areas of Rwanda. There are unconfirmed reports that the Rwandans are receiving military support from volunteer units coming from an eastern nation. I must repeat, these are unconfirmed reports.
There is absolutely no evidence that the Rwandan army is being reinforced by volunteers. The personnel at our missile base is on standby duty, but the base is located far from the center of hostilities. I have every reason to believe that...
Rwandan troops have seized the United States missile base. Units of the 7th Airborne Battalion have launched an attack in a desperate effort to recapture the base. Oh, wait, wait. This is the latest dispatch. A missile. I repeat, a missile has just been launched from our base, presumably by the Rwandans. We have no information concerning the missile itself. It may be equipped with a nuclear warhead. And we have no information about the missile's destination.
How did it begin? What was the first link in the chain of events? The scales of war were in perfect balance until a dog ran into a street.
Theater 5 has presented The Chain, written by Leonard Stad, produced and directed by Warren Somerville. In the cast, Robert Dryden, Gil Mack, Stan Watt, George Petrie, and Natalie Priest. Audio engineers Neil Pultz and Marty Folia. Sound technician Ed Blaney. Script editor Jack C. Wilson. Original music by Alexander Vlastotsenko. Orchestra under the direction of Glenn Osser. Executive producer for Theater 5, Lee Bowman. We invite your comments. Write to Theater 5, New York 23, New York. That's Theater 5, New York 23, New York. This is Fred Foy speaking. This has been an ABC Radio Network production.
Slaughter's my name, Luke Slaughter. Cattle's my business. It's a tough business. It's big business. I've got a big stake in it. And there's no man west of the Rio Grande big enough to take it from me.
Luke Slaughter of Tombstone. Luke Slaughter of Tombstone, Civil War cavalryman turned Arizona cattleman. Across the territory from Yuma to Fort Defiance, from Flagstaff to the Huachucas, and below the border through Chihuahua and Sonora, his name was respected or feared, depending on which side of the law you were on. Man of vision, man of legend, Luke Slaughter of Tombstone.
This special meeting of the Cattlemen's Association of Tombstone is now in order.
And I guess it's in order for me to ask what's so special about it, to take up my time when I'm getting a herd ready for shipment.
Well, that's a fair question, Slaughter. Now, we've...
Now, wait just a minute. I'm not finished.
Oh, well, go on.
Mr. Canfield, how can you hold a meeting, special or not, when you haven't got a quorum? There's only you and Bigelow here. That's no quorum.
It's enough.
Well, Slaughter, this is a very special meeting. We kept it small on account of you.
Me?
Yes. You're the reason for this meeting.
I gotta ask you to elucidate that, Mr. Canfield.
Canfield, may I have the floor? I'd like to do the elucidating.
Of course, Mr. Bigelow.
I agree that the accused has the right to know the charges against him.
Accused?
So I think it only fair that you know right off that this special meeting has been called to give you a private opportunity to answer to the charge of horse stealing and cattle rustling.
Who says I'm a cattle rustler and horse thief?
I do.
You stand up, mister, and dig for your iron.
No, boys. Now, let's not add injury to insult. We want to get to the bottom of this, Slaughter.
So do I, and I aim to. No man accuses me without proof, and there isn't any proof.
Well, I'm afraid there is, Slaughter.
Meaning?
Meaning somebody's been stealing horses from around Tombstone, running them across the border, and selling them in Mexico.
I know. I lost a couple of three ponies out of my string.
Oh, I'll bet you did.
No, Mr. Bigelow, now let me handle this. This appears to be a two-way rustling deal, Slaughter, because this someone's been stealing cattle in Mexico and from around here, too, and selling them in Bisbee and Phoenix and Prescott.
Only this time you were stupid, Slaughter. You stole some of my cattle and you had the brass to turn around and sell them to Canfield along with that last herd you drove up from Mexico.
Bigelow, I'm telling you again. You better back that up with steel.
I'm afraid we've got proof it's you, Slaughter.
What proof?
Well, that last herd I bought from you...
I paid for them in Mexico with my own money. I drove them all the way up here through some pretty rough country and fattened them on the way. I sold them to you for a fair profit.
Yeah, and about a dozen of them had Bigelow's brand on them.
What?
Oh, it had been altered, but it was a pretty clumsy job. Now, what have you got to say to that?
The only thing I can say, I didn't steal Bigelow's cattle or anybody else's.
Well, that ain't good enough for me, Slaughter.
You're new here in these parts, Slaughter, but people hereabouts think pretty well of you.
Thanks.
So, we got a proposition to make to you.
Proposition?
Yes, you pay Bigelow for his cattle, and we'll just forget the whole thing.
And if I don't?
Well, you leave us no choice but to turn you over to the sheriff.
Well, Slaughter, which will it be?
Neither. Reach, both of you. I'll just relieve you gents of your guns.
You're putting yourself outside the law, Slaughter.
No, you're putting me there.
We'll get up a posse, Slaughter. We'll come after you.
You do that.
And we'll get you, sooner or later.
That I doubt. Thanks for the guns, gents. Of course, I'm not taking them permanently. Any more than I take horses or cattle. You'll find them in the watering trough across the street. But if you take my advice, don't come looking for them until I've ridden out of town.
Howdy, Luke. What took you so long in town?
Plenty.
Well, I'm ready to move these critters over to Tucson anytime you are, Luke.
That'll have to wait. Wichita, how long will it take you to get together your gear and chow for 3 days and saddle up?
Oh, half hour if I was rushed.
You're rushed. Make it 20 minutes. There's a posse less than a half hour behind us.
Luke?
Yeah?
If we're figuring on getting any further use out of these horses, we'd better give them a rest.
Yeah, I know, Wichita. That's why we're headed for the river.
Oh, figuring on throwing the posse off the trail by riding down the middle of the stream?
That's right. We'll come out on that lava outcropping down at Jackrabbit Falls. Then we'll see whether they can pick up our trail.
If you had to ask me...
I didn't, Wichita.
Well, I know, but if you had to, that's just what I would have done.
That's just what I figured. Oh, boy. Slow down there. Oh.
Come on there, you ornery critter. No time to stop for a drink now.
You got that much time, Wichita. Let him wet his whistle.
Oh, good. I don't know, Luke. I just can't get over it.
What?
You. Ain't like you to take this lying down.
Well, I'm not exactly lying down, Wichita.
No, you're high-tailing it, which is worse. And I always thought you had more guts than you could hang on a fence.
There's a time to fight and a time to run, Wichita. And this isn't the time to fight. Come on there, fella. That's enough, Guzman. Come on.
If I was you, I'd have blown the heads off them two slandering sons.
That would only prove I could outdraw them. It wouldn't disprove their charges.
Well, you ain't going to disprove them by running away.
I hope I am, Wichita.
How?
I don't know yet. But it's a nice day for a horseback ride, isn't it? Let's give these fellas a little rest.
I could use it a little myself. Ooh, that lava field ain't the easiest thing to pick your way through for man or beast.
We'll let them graze a while behind these rocks.
Yeah, now let's go up and peek over the rim. Maybe we can see our pursuers.
All right. Get down now. Take off your hat.
Sure.
I want to make a silhouette against the sky.
A mighty pretty view of the valley from here.
Well, what's so funny?
Look out there, up river about a mile. There they are.
Yeah.
Fanning all over the desert, riding back and forth and up and down the river.
Well, they'll never pick up our trail.
Nope. We shook them for fair. Eh, what are we going to do now?
Sit.
Sit? Here?
That's right.
Why?
See what happens next. We've made our play. The next play is up to somebody else.
Well, who?
That's what we're sitting here to find out.
Ain't we sat here long enough, Luke?
Not quite, Wichita.
Sat here all day yesterday. Sit here all night, freezing to death out of fire.
I told you I didn't want anybody to know we were here.
Well, who's to know? That posse faded back to Tombstone before sundown yesterday.
Wichita, didn't you ever learn that patience is a virtue?
I was never known as a very virtuous man.
And that virtue is its own reward.
Now, Luke, sermonizing me ain't gonna get you nowhere.
Oh, I don't mean to play sky pilot, Wichita. But if you look over there toward the east...
A cloud of dust.
I think that may be why we've been sitting here.
Yeah, just a small string of horses, six, eight maybe. A couple of hands are herding them.
That's right. Herding them south. Across the border, maybe.
You think they've stolen horses?
I bet on it.
Well, how come you're so certain?
Well, now, if you were running this rustling, and you'd accused me...
Oh, I'd never do that, Luke.
I know, but we're just supposing. And I skipped town. Now, wouldn't you take advantage of that fact to rustle some more horses? And make it look like I'd done it for certain?
Well, sure. Sure I would, Lukey. If I was a rustler, which I ain't.
Now, I think we can both be pretty sure that we aren't the rustlers.
I reckon so. But if we ain't, then them waters down there are, so let's go get them.
No.
Why not? If your theorizing is correct, they're guilty of sin.
Yeah, but they're probably just trail hands. I want to know who the boss is.
Well, how are you going to find out? Ride down there and ask him?
No, Wichita, we're going to trail him. Let's hit the leather. We trailed them south across the border and into Mexico, keeping well out of sight. By dark on the second day, they'd reached the little town of De La Rosa. We watched the two of them herd the horses into a corral on the outskirts of town, then paralleled them along a back street as they headed for the cantina. We edged up to the door, keeping in the shadows. 15 minutes later, they came out and started across the street.
It looks like that's a rooming house over there they're heading for, Luke.
Yeah. You recognize them?
Nope. Never seen either of them before. We gonna follow them?
Not right now. We know where they are. I'm more interested in seeing who they've been talking to in the cantina. Come on. Keep your eyes open and your hand near your holster.
Right.
Señores?
Dos tequilas.
Sí, señor.
Wichita.
Yeah?
Over there, at that table.
Who is he?
Dominguez, a bandito, smart and tough.
You think he's the one?
I think we better have a talk with him. Hello, Dominguez.
Buenas noches, señor Slaughter.
Mind if we sit down?
Por favor. You should not have come here, señor Slaughter.
Why not? We're just drifting through.
Oh, no, you're not just drifting through, señor Slaughter. You were run out of Tombstone because they thought you were stealing horses and cattle.
You've got big ears, Dominguez.
See? These big ears are very valuable to me at times. I think you follow those horses here to find out who's behind this.
All right, Dominguez. Let's play it your way. But I don't think you're the boss of this operation. I think you're just receiving the stolen horses at this end of the line. And that's your business, not mine. I want to know who's behind this up Tombstone way.
I have no information for you.
No? Might be a good idea for you if you did have.
You're in no position to make threats. I'm holding a gun on you under the table.
Luke?
Easy, Wichita. Yeah, I figured you were, Dominguez. What's your play?
There'll be no play, Señor Slaughter. I'm leaving now, and you will not follow me.
That's a matter of opinion.
If you do, Señor Slaughter...
Yeah?
When you walk through this door, you're going to be shot.
In a moment, Luke Slaughter of Tombstone returns. As anyone who's heard our Amos and Andy Music Hall and Robert Q. Lewis show can tell you, good entertainment does the trick night after night here at CBS Radio. Amos and Andy are old hands at delighting listeners, stirring up a good time as second nature to them.
Call it genius, call it showmanship, but Amos and Andy have what it takes to please. Robert Q and his gang make life easy, too. Blessed with wit, they shuttle back and forth between gentle humor and sheer hilarity with disarming speed. Tomorrow night, satisfy your entertainment needs. Join us when CBS Radio's Amos and Andy and Robert Q. Lewis come your way on most of these same stations. Now, Act Two of William N. Robeson's production of Luke Slaughter of Tombstone.
What are we going to do, Luke?
Go out that door, I reckon.
But you heard what Dominguez said. We'll get dry gulch the minute we step outside.
Maybe. Now's as good a time as any to find out.
He's in the dark out there. We'd be setting ducks against the light.
That's why we're going to have a little less light in here. Quietos todos. Stay where you are and nobody will get hurt. I figure it's just as dark in here as it is out there now. Come on, Wichita. All right. When I give the word, we'll go through this door fast. Flatten yourself against the wall on the left. I'll be on the right. Ready?
Yeah.
Now. You all right, Wichita?
Yeah, he missed.
Came from over near that horse trough. Don't shoot till you see what you're shooting at.
Watch out, Luke.
I see him.
Yeah, Piers, you got him.
Stay low. Let's go take a look.
You think it's Dominguez?
I doubt it. He's too smart to leave cover like that. Here he is.
Hey. Hey. It's one of the rustlers. You plugged him dead center.
Dominguez probably cleared out. I know him. He won't ever call unless he's sure he's got a winning hand.
Well, maybe he's... Wait. Listen.
Sounds like somebody's real anxious to get out of here in a hurry.
Dominguez, more than likely.
Or it's the other rustler heading north toward Tombstone. And if it is, we've got to catch him before he gets there and make him talk. Come on.
Luke, we ain't gained much on him all night.
I know. I was hoping we could head him off before he crossed the border.
Yeah. Well, how far you figure we are out of Tombstone?
5-6 hours.
Starting to get light.
We got one chance of nailing him. He's swinging to the left around this ridge. We're going over the top.
Luke, if he's got by ahead of us, we're licked. That climb over the ridge like kill these horses.
I don't think he has got by us, Wichita. Ooh. Here's the trail. There's no fresh tracks on it.
Yeah, I hear him coming, Luke.
We're around the bend from him. He won't see us until he's right on top of us.
You gonna rope him?
I'm gonna try to. I want him alive.
Here he comes.
Hey! Slaughter!
Yeah!
Luke!
Got him!
All right, hold it.
How'd you cut me off?
Doesn't matter now. What's your name?
Ben Faraday.
All right, Faraday. Who are you working for?
Nobody.
Don't give me that. Who's your boss? Come on, start talking.
I don't know what you...
Get down, Wichita.
Hey, sure. Came from up on the ridge. You see anything?
Yeah. A piece of a Mexican sombrero up there for a minute. Dominguez.
And I gotta hand it to him for being a good shot. Faraday's dead as a doornail.
Yeah, he can't do any talking now. That's a cinch. Come on. Keep low behind these rocks.
Yeah, cool.
Now keep that head of yours down, or you'll get it blown off.
There appears to be a lot of cover for him up there.
Yeah. Once we get over this shoulder, you can see the top of the ridge. Easy now. I'll go first.
You see anything?
No. It looks like... There he is.
Hey, atop his horse and heading for the border.
Sure. He isn't interested in us anymore. Now that Faraday's dead and can't tell us who the boss is.
Maybe it is Dominguez.
Not likely. This operation's too big for a tin-horned bandito. It's got to be somebody at the north end of the line. Probably somebody right in Tombstone.
Well, with Faraday and that other rustler both dead, looks like we don't have much chance to find out who it is.
Come on now, Wichita. Don't throw in your hand till you've used up all the aces in your sleeve.
Meaning?
See that hollow down there in the rocks near Faraday's body?
Yeah, what about it?
I'm going to rig up a little camp there for Faraday and me.
You going to set up camp with a dead man?
That's right. And you, Wichita, you're going riding.
What you think I've been doing for the last 12 hours?
And you got some more riding ahead of you. I want you to ride into Tombstone and tell him we caught Faraday. Tell him he's wounded and unconscious. Tell him to send the doctor. Because as soon as he comes to, we're going to find out who the rustler boss really is.
You figure Faraday's boss will come a-running to keep him from talking?
That's my gamble.
It's a pretty loco scheme, if you ask me.
I didn't. But I'll ask you this. You got a better one?
No.
Then hit the leather for Tombstone. Get that story around town and then get back here as soon as you can. Who's that? Who's out there?
It's only me, Luke. Put that gun away. Ooh, yeesh. I bet I got more saddle sores than this horse has.
Did you get the word around?
I sure did.
Who'd you talk to?
Well, Ezra Canfield, for one.
Who else?
Homer Biglow happened to be in town. I saw to it that he heard. And a lot more.
What'd they say?
Well, they said they hoped Faraday could clear you. And they'd try to sober up Doc Eaton and get him out here. Somebody went to find him. Biglow, I think it was.
You told him exactly where our camp was located?
Yeah. Luke, you figure it might be either of them two, Canfield or Biglow?
Could be. On the other hand, it could be anybody. Or maybe our message didn't even get to the right man. Any way you look at it, Wichita, there's only one thing we can do now. Let's wait.
Ooh-wee. It sure gets cold out here at night. I'm going to put another piece of mesquite on the fire.
Leave it be, Wichita.
But I'm freezing, Luke.
Just leave the embers like they are. You don't want to light yourself up for a target, do you?
Oh, now that you mention it. What time you figure it's getting to be?
Well, past midnight, by the looks of the stars.
Nobody's going to be looking for us this time of night.
Maybe, maybe not.
Luke, do you realize that this is the third night running that I haven't had any sleep to speak of?
Then get some. I'll stand watch.
But I can't sleep, Luke. I'm too dang cold.
Well, it looks like I'm going to have to turn you out to pasture, Wichita. You're getting too old and crotchety for this kind of play.
Now, you see here, Luke. You're just as sleepy and just as cold as I am, only you won't admit it.
Quiet. Looks like the party's about to start. Quiet.
I can't help.
You all right?
Yeah, but I'm gonna need a new Stetson.
Serves you right for sneezing.
Oh, dark as ace of spades out there. I can't see a thing.
Neither can he. He just shot at the sound. Keep your eyes open now. I'm going to toss a rock to one side. Make him think I'm circling. Watch for his gun flash.
Right.
Here goes.
Over there.
I've got him. Come on.
Here he is. It's Homer Biglow.
Yeah, Biglow.
Is he dead?
No. Shoulder. He'll keep. Long enough to stand trial, anyway.
If he hadn't fallen for your trap, if he'd have known that Faraday was dead and couldn't talk, he'd still be in the clear.
Yeah. You know, they say what a man doesn't know won't hurt him. That isn't true in Bigelow's case. What he didn't know is going to kill him.
Luke Slaughter of Tombstone, starring Sam Buffington, was written by Robert Stanley and adapted for radio and directed by William N. Robeson, editorial supervision by Tom Hanley. Supporting Mr. Buffington were Louis Van Ruten, Lawrence Dobkin, Junius Matthews, and Don Diamond, with music composed and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Next week at this time, we return with...
Slaughter's the name. Luke Slaughter. When we meet up again, you can call me that. Luke Slaughter.
This is the CBS Radio Network.